Luke chapter number 2, where, like I heard a preacher say this week, this will be our hop-off point. We'll hop off from Luke chapter 2. I want to focus our attention on something that the angel said. So they were praising the Lord after they had announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, I'll begin reading at verse number 8 and read down through verse number 14. Hope you're excited about Jesus. I'm excited this morning. I've been having kind of a personal revival this week. In fact, I've been so fired up for Jesus that the Grinch can't even steal my Christmas. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I want us to focus our attention this morning as I'll be preaching on the subject of peace on earth. Peace on earth. Let's bow and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this time of year when we celebrate the fact that you came. You were born of a virgin. Lord, you lived a sinless life and you died on the cross, but praise you, you did not stay dead, but you rose from the grave and you're coming again. Lord, we're so grateful for the fact that you came. And because you came, we can have peace. We can have peace in our hearts. We can have peace in our churches. We can have peace with one another because of you. Lord, if there's someone here who's never made peace with you, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would be saved. Your Spirit would convict them and draw them to yourself, and they'd be saved this morning. We give you the praise and glory for it. I pray you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit. Help me to preach exactly what I need to, nothing more, nothing less. Lord, may when we leave this place, may we be more like Jesus than we were when we came in. For it's in His name I pray. Amen. This morning, being the Sunday before Christmas, as I said, I'd like to preach on the subject of peace on earth. It's what the angel said. They said as they were announcing the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the shepherds, they announced and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Because of Christmas, there can be peace on earth. And apart from Christmas and the miracle of Christmas, there would be no chance for peace on earth. The word translated peace is the Greek word Irene, and it means peace or rest, the absence or end of strife. Now we live in a day where the whole world, it seems, is clamoring for peace. Everywhere we turn, it's all that the politicians talk about, it's all that the news organizations talk about. Will we ever have peace? If we could just get the right people elected to office, maybe we'll have peace. If we could just somehow get everyone to lay down their weapons, then perhaps we could have peace. Everywhere they are clamoring for peace. They're clamoring for world peace. Our president, the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, trying desperately to achieve peace in the world and the Middle East. Yet he announced this week that he didn't think that he could keep Israel from attacking Iran much longer. Everywhere people are crying, peace, peace, and it seems that there is no peace. They're clamoring for financial peace. Is there any way out of this mess? With credit card bills, medical bills, behind on the mortgage, upside down in their car loans. The creditors calling daily. And now with all that going on, it's Christmas time, and it's time to go buy the Christmas gifts. Everywhere they are searching for financial peace. Now, if they just listen to Dave Ramsey, they might find some financial peace. Ain't that right, Brother Steve? Crying peace, wanting financial peace. Some are clamoring for inner peace. They are searching for it in alcohol and human relationships. Searching for it in religion and personal accomplishments. If I can just play enough sports and win the trophy, if I can win the big game, then maybe it'll bring a sense of contentment and peace to my life. Some search for it in their jobs. If I can just dedicate myself to my work and I can move myself up the corporate ladder, maybe I'll get to a position where I will have peace. They're clamoring for relational peace. Peace in the family. If we can just have peace and harmony in the home instead of fighting all the time. Peace among co-workers. Peace in the classroom. And yes, even churches are crying out for peace. Many churches can't, it seems, get along. Clamoring for spiritual peace. Searching for it in yoga, transcendental meditation. Staring at crystals and astral projection. Searching for it in Scientology and Mormonism and other cult groups. Searching for it in Wicca and, yes, the occult. Everywhere, it seems, people are searching everywhere, crying out for peace, longing to find peace somehow in their life and somehow in their heart. Everywhere we turn, they're searching for this. What they do not realize is that they cannot make peace or find peace until they find the Prince of Peace, who is Christ Jesus. Yes, because Christ came into the world, we can find true peace for all that we are searching for. Today I want us to see a few things about this subject of peace and how we can have peace on earth. We will see, first of all, that mankind is at war. Mankind is at war. Then we will see that Jesus came to negotiate a peace treaty. And if we'll sign the treaty and abide by it, we can find peace for all these areas in which we are searching for peace. As I said, mankind is at war. And I'm not talking about just being at war between countries. I'm not talking about being engaged in a war on terrorism. I'm not talking about having soldiers in Iraq or Afghanistan, but mankind is at war with one another. I want to suggest to you this morning, if somehow we could this morning get all the nations of the earth to lay down their weapons, there would still not be peace. And until a person can find peace with God in their hearts, there will not be peace. Mankind will always be at war, whether physically or spiritually in himself. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, tells us this. It says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Mankind is at war, and only Jesus is our peace. As I said, we are at war with one another. We have military buildups, nuclear arsenals, and terrorism. We have nation fighting against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We have husbands striving against wives and wives against husbands. Children striving against their parents. We live in a day where they are disobedient to parents, just as the Apostle Paul had said that it would be in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the last days, just prior to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, ungrateful. We live in a day where mankind is at war with one another. Co-workers against co-workers. Employees against the management. At war with one another. We're at war with one another because we're at war in ourselves. No contentment in life. No satisfaction. We search for it in all these things, trying to somehow find contentment, somehow find peace, and yet there is no peace. We want to do right, but always give in, it seems, to doing wrong. No feeling of accomplishment or self-worth. Everywhere we turn, and even when we lay down at night to go to sleep, we cannot find peace because there is so much strife and so much war inside of us. We're at war with others and in ourselves because ultimately we are at war with God. Ultimately, mankind, because of his sinfulness, because of his selfishness, is at war with God. I don't know if you realize this before this morning, but I hope you get this truth, that mankind is at war with God, and the peace that the angels announce that we can have through Jesus Christ, we can have peace in all areas, but it only comes by making peace with God through him who is our peace, Jesus Christ, who was born on Christmas. At war with God. We're at war with God because of our sinfulness. Our lawlessness. The Apostle Paul to the Ephesians here, when he's telling them that Christ is their peace, it says he broke down the middle wall of partition and abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. We are at war with God because we have broken God's law. Every one of us are a bunch of lawless reprobates apart from Christ. We have broken God's law. He said, do not have any other gods before me, and yet we put everything, it seems, before him. We put things before him in the use of our time. We put things before him in the use of our energy. We put things before him in the use of our treasures and our talents, and yet he said, do not have any other gods before me, and yet we have. He said, don't make any graven image. Yet we make graven images in our mind as we put other things in place or ahead of God. He said, do not take my name in vain. Yet we have taken his name in vain. He said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Yet we have not remembered the Sabbath nor kept it holy. He said, honor your father and mother. Yet we are disobedient, unthankful, and unholy. He said, do not murder. And Jesus said, if you hate your brother, in essence, you're guilty of murder. He said, do not steal, yet we rob from God in tithes and offerings. He said, do not commit adultery. And Jesus said, if you have lust in your heart for another woman, you've committed adultery already. He says, do not bear false witness, yet we bear false witness. Giving in to gossip and backbiting and slandering. He says, do not covet, yet we spend all our time and energy trying to amass more things to keep up with our neighbors down the street. Why? Because we covet what they have. Yes, we have broken every last one of the laws of God. In essence, we are blasphemous, idolater, lying thieves who are adulterers at heart, at war with God. And because of this, we are guilty and we deserve hell. The law has condemned us to it. Not only are we at war with God because of our sinfulness, we are at war with God because of our carnality. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7 says that to be carnally minded is enmity with God. We act wrong because we think wrong. And we think wrong because we listen to the wrong people and ultimately the devil. When the devil and others tell us that this won't hurt, you need to do this, you're worthless anyway, and you won't amount to anything, and we listen to that, and we let that carnal mindset affect how we're going to act in our everyday life. When the truth about us as children of God is that we are blood-bought children of the living God, we are worth more than the world to God, and we need to start acting like it. We're at war with God also because of our worldliness. James 4 and verse 4 says, "Know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God?" We love the people of the world more than the people of God. You say, how so? Because we'd rather spend our time with the people of the world than the people of God. We have forsaken the assembly of ourselves together. And the writer of Hebrews said to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, and even so much the more as we see the day approaching. As we see the day approaching, and I believe it is fastly approaching, when Jesus Christ, the baby that was born and placed in the manger at Bethlehem, but then lived a sinless life and died in our place on Calvary's cross and rose from the dead, we see the day approaching quickly when He's going to return again, and He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and even so much the more as you see that day approaching. We love the stuff of the world more than the resources of God. We love the systems of the world and would rather operate our lives and, yes, oftentimes even our churches according to how the world operates instead of the prompting of the Spirit of God. We love the education system of the world, the political system, the financial system. We love the systems of the world more than the Spirit of God. We love the places of the world more than the house of God. We love the thinking of the world more than the Word of God. Yes, even preachers and theologians, it seems, love the thinking of the world more than the Word of God. They would rather quote highly educated people instead of the Word of God. They would rather because they have not heard from God, and they want to propagate a religious system and continue it going when they have not heard from God. Instead, they will quote someone else who also has not heard from God instead of listening to the Spirit of God and quoting, "Thus saith the Lord." Great old evangelist of a generation gone by was a man named Percy Ray. Percy Ray founded Camp Zion in Myrtle, Mississippi. And if you never heard Percy Ray preach, he kind of preached like this. He was one of them old time preachers that preached like this. And he said one time, he was talking about how these modern day theologians would rather quote somebody else than the Word of God and why that was so dangerous. He said, "Men don't tremble at what Dr. Doodle Digit and Rabbi Smell Fungi say. They tremble at 'Thus saith God.'" You see, it really does not matter what anyone else thinks. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what this church thinks unless it's based upon the Word of God. The only thing that matters in this life and in the life to come is what God Almighty has said. And God says, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. At war with God. But I got good news this morning. The good news is this. While we are at war with God, and because of our enmity with God, we deserve to die and go to hell because we have broken God's law and God's commandment. The good news is that God sent forth His only Son. When the fullness of time had come, He sent forth His Son to be born of a woman, to be born under the law, and endure the curse of the law. And cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And He endured our shame for us. And in doing so, He negotiated a peace treaty so we can be at peace and not at war with God. Hallelujah. Woo! It's good news this morning, friends. He is our peace, Ephesians 2 tells us. Jesus Christ, peace on earth, the angels could say, because Jesus Christ had come. The one who would pay sin's debt for us. The one who would make it possible for a sinful man to be reconciled with a holy and righteous God. He had come into the world and He is our peace. Hallelujah. Broke down the wall that separates us. He overcame sin in the flesh.
He broke sin's power on the cross. He took out sin's strength and sting at the grave. And He offers resurrection life to whosoever will call upon His name. He signed this treaty in blood. It has been signed, sealed, and delivered. Apart from the shedding of blood, there would be no forgiveness of sins. There would be no reconciliation between two enemies. Those who were at war with one another, mankind and God, because of man's sinfulness. Now through Jesus Christ and the shedding of His blood, there is peace offered to mankind. He mediates and guarantees the treaty between us and God. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 1 through 6. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Why should we pray for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He says, pray for one another. Pray for those in authority over you. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Jesus signed the treaty on Calvary's cross and offers it through His resurrection to whoever will call upon His name. So pray that people will be saved through the mediator, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. Woo! He bridged this gap created by sin. There is a gap that we have created between us and God because we have rebelled against God. And we have lived in our sinfulness. We have been the servants of sin rather than the servants of God. And because of this, there is a gap that none of us can traverse. None of us can get across this gap. But Jesus Christ on the cross laid down a bridge. As the Southern Gospel songwriter said, mercy built a bridge. Jesus Christ paved the way and bridged the gap so that we who are sinful can be united and reconciled with a God who is holy. One God, one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And I got good news for you this morning. To get your sins forgiven, you don't have to come to me. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go through any man except the one who walked through death's door and came out victorious on the other side. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. Hallelujah. Woo. Paves the way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And when we go God's way, which is the Jesus way, and it's still the only way, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. Jesus Christ is the only one. He's not a way among many ways. He's not a way alongside the Islam way or the Hindu way or the Buddhist way. No, He's the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This baby that was born in Bethlehem and that Bethlehem morning when the sun rose and the sun is still shining and Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is shining into the dark regions of this world and perhaps the dark regions of your heart this morning. And if you will accept Him and embrace His light, you can have peace with God this morning. Came to save His people from their sins. If you will accept the treaty and abide by its terms, you can have peace. First of all, peace to be saved. What are these terms of this treaty? Except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16, 31. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10 and verse 9. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, anybody in this room, if you'll call on the name of Jesus, you can be saved. And then once you are saved, if you want to have the peace that passes all understanding, live by the book. We are not going to improve on this book. Oprah doesn't have a better way than this book. Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz don't have a better way than this book. This book is God's book. It is not man's book. It is God's book passed down from generation to generation over time, preserved by God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We are following in the ways of the prophets of old, the good way and the tested way, which has stood the test of time that it works. And I can testify to you this morning, it does work. God's way works for whatever your problem is. If you're having marriage problems, God's way works. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. That way works. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. That way still works. Don't humor your parents, honor your parents. Feeling unction this morning. We live in a day where people are ungrateful and unthankful beginning in the home. We got more in this country than any nation on the face of the earth. And yet we have been ungrateful and unthankful beginning at home. Your parents work hard to provide for a roof over your house, or your grandparents or whoever you're living with, they're working hard to put food on the table, and instead of honoring them and being thankful to them, instead you're upset because you didn't get the Wii. You will not have peace in your life until you submit to the godly authority in the home. You won't have peace in any area of your life until you start living by this book. The good way that is tested that works. You won't have financial peace. The Bible says, owe no man anything but love. Bring the tithes into the storehouse. Test me and prove me. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great that you can't receive it. Godliness with contentment is great gain. He will supply all our needs. Now He hadn't promised to supply all our wants. Because a lot of our wants is just covetousness. But He has promised to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. You can have spiritual peace if you will abide by the treaty and live by the book. Peace with God for eternity. You can have relational peace if you will live by the book. If possible, live peaceably with all men, the Bible says. You can have inner peace. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And one day, praise Jesus, we will have world peace. There's a day coming when they'll beat, as the songwriter put it, they'll beat their swords and weapons into plowshares. There is a day coming when mankind will lay down his arms, but it's not going to happen till the Prince of Peace sets foot on the Mount of Olives and sets up his kingdom. But praise God, the King that was born that Matthew tells us about. The King Jesus, the seed of Abraham and the seed of David, the God incarnate, the King Jesus Christ, the one who fulfills the promise to David that a ruler would sit on his throne forever and forever. Jesus Christ one day is going to split the eastern sky, and He's going to come back again, and He's going to set up His kingdom, and He's going to rule this world like it ought to be ruled. And all these jake-leg politicians that sit around and try to make their treaties today, they won't have a thing when Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is on the throne. Hallelujah. Christ will be enthroned. His enemies will be incarcerated. The first time He came to serve, the second time He is coming to be served. The first time He came to submit, the second time He is coming to subject. The first time He came to die, the second time He's coming to destroy. The first time He was judged by Pilate and He found no fault in Him, by the way. The second time the world will be judged by Him. The first time He came to make peace, the second time He is coming to make war. The first time He came to be crucified, the second time He's coming to be crowned. And by the way, they'll never crucify Him again. Hallelujah. The first time He came to be a Savior, the second, He's coming to be supreme. The first time He came as lowly, born of a virgin, and laid in a manger. The second time He's coming back as absolute King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah to the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And as Sister Linda so beautifully sang this morning, we will rule and reign with Him. Rule and reign with Him. If we suffer with Him, we'll also rule and reign with Him. Because of Christmas, we can have peace. He came to give us His peace that passes all understanding, so our hearts don't have to be troubled nor afraid. Come to Jesus today and find peace that your soul is longing for. Every head bowed and every eye closed, no one's looking around.